to turn to the Gospel of John this morning. We started out with our sunrise service with John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. And we're going to pick up now there at verse 11 and go through verse 22. So we're in John chapter 20, verses 11 through 22. Let us hear these words that our Lord has intended for us this morning. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we pick up this morning from our sunrise service to this point, where initially Mary had come to the tomb, saw that the stone had been rolled away, and she was in anguish because the Lord had been taken out of the tomb, or at least she thought they had. And then of course the disciples come running to the tomb and looked, and what they found left were the wrappings. And what they didn't fully understand yet at that point is what this meant. But now we see Mary Magdalene continue to cry outside the tomb, and she sees the two men dressed in white, the angels dressed in white, and then she has that encounter with the risen Savior, has that encounter with Jesus that she doesn't fully recognize for some time. Well, over the course of this past week, this Holy Week, we've had some ups and downs. We've had a lot of things going on. Last Sunday, we celebrated the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. We waved our palm leaves, we laid them on the altar before we left, and then with the understanding, since we've been here before, that in a period of a week, how differently things happen from celebrating the arrival of Jesus to running him out of the town, torturing him and putting him up on that cross and crucifying him, from welcoming to shouts of "Crucify him." How big the changes over the course of a week. So we had Palm Sunday, and then we also spent some time together praying in a very intentional way, reflecting on the ministry of our Savior, how that is reflective of what we do in the church. We recalled the horrors of the crucifixion and what it meant to suffer, as our Savior indeed did suffer, when we come together on Tuesday and watch the Passion of the Christ movie together, and talked about what that meant to us. And then on Holy Thursday service, or Maundy Thursday, we had somewhat of a mourning service, for knowing that the following day our Savior would be crucified on a cross, that he would be tortured and crucified on a cross. And that night before we left, we stripped the altar barren of all the brass, the lineaments, stripped it barren. And we presented a barren cross here in this church. And then on Friday, on Good Friday, I don't know about you, but I know my heart was heavy that day. And we participated in intentional acts of prayer for the church, the people of this church, and what the church can be for this community. But brothers and sisters, today we come together in celebration. We come together to celebrate that our Savior has risen, our Savior has rose up in victory over death, and that we have truly been redeemed by the blood of Christ and offered a promise of an eternal life for those who accept Christ in their heart as their personal Savior. He has shown that the grave could not hold him, because our God is so powerful that there is nothing that can match the power that our God has. The grave couldn't contain him. Our Savior loved us so much he gave his life on a cross, took on our sin, and our God loved us so much that he gave his Son, but in the end he was raised up again and is now ascended in heaven. He sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We shared that with the Apostles' Creed this morning. But I want to come back to just a minute about Mary Magdalene when she said, "Where have you taken him? Where have you taken him?" Mary asked this question as she presumes, of whom she presumes to be the gardener. This person comes up, she thinks it's the gardener. She says, "Where have you taken him? If you only tell me, I will go get him. I'll move him. I'll make sure that he's taken care of." Because she stands there weeping before the empty tomb. Put yourself in her place just for a minute. Imagine the pain and the uncertainty that she's feeling, because she has been on this journey with Jesus. She's come to follow Jesus, and she's quite emotional right now. The tears are real. The pain is real. The hurt is immense. But in the clouded vision of those tears and that emotion, somebody approaches her, and she thinks it's the gardener. Even though she's speaking to Jesus up front, she does not realize it's Jesus. She failed to see him. Why is it that she thinks she failed to see him? Could it be that she had her own perceptions of doubt? I mean, her and the disciples had all heard, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to be crucified, placed on a cross. I'm going to die, and in 3 days I'm going to rise up again. But you think about the people of that day. Think about us now. What are you going to think if somebody says, you know what? They're going to kill me, but in 3 days I'm coming back. How much are you really going to believe that now? But there was still a connection. There was still a love. There was still a loyalty to the following of Jesus as Mary stood there that day. Mary Magdalene stood there that day, coming expecting to find Jesus in that tomb, knowing that, you know what, this probably is not going to happen to where he's going to be raised up. But they were surprised when they found the tomb to be empty. And even the disciples had doubt. I mean, you saw in the scripture this morning that they were not really fully aware of what this meant yet, but that it meant something. And they recall hearing what Jesus had said. But they had doubts until they saw his nail-scarred hands. They had doubts until they saw his pierced side. Mary Magdalene had doubts until she truly saw that the person she spoke to was Jesus Christ himself. But then, of course, Jesus cautioned her, "Don't hold on to me yet, because I've not yet ascended, but here I am here right now." Over these last 40 days in our Lenten season, we've traveled a journey that hopefully has resulted in a closer relationship with Christ for each one of us. Because we've been called into a deeper examination of our own thoughts, our own beliefs, and really how maybe we have become conformed to the world rather than to the Word of God. Over these last 40 days, we have approached some pretty difficult topics. that are tough for us to talk about as Christians and that are tough for people to talk about in general. But we've approached those topics because it was the right thing to do. Because we recall that God did not just create you and me. God created all people in His image. God considers all people in His image, all people to be His children, and all people worthy of His grace and of His mercy. Whereas, as a world, as a society, sometimes we have our own idea about what that pecking order should look like. We have our own idea about who's worthy to sit here in church on Sunday morning, who's worthy to receive this or that, or who's committed the greater sin. So over this last 40 days, we've heard messages on these difficult topics about how we can live out a model of unconditional love that Jesus laid before us. Because I don't think anybody can argue the point that the greatest love ever shown for anyone was the unconditional love where Christ willingly laid down His life for us, for all people, that they might be redeemed and that they might have a promise of an eternal life. But the resurrection story does not stop there, and the resurrection does not simply mean redemption and eternal life. It means also how we go forth living a changed life, living a life in love. Over these last 40 days, we've heard messages on suicide, on homosexuality, on abortion, immigration, and addiction. And the point out of each one of those is how do we as a body of Christ, regardless of where we stand, how do we as a body of Christ live out fully the love of Christ to all people? How do we live out the love of Christ in a way that is non-judgmental? How do we live out the love of Christ in a way that shows that we take seriously our commission to be the disciples, to make disciples, and to cause transformation in this world? And that has resulted in a lot of prayer. It's resulted in a lot of discussion. And it's resulted in some deeper understanding, I hope. We hear the Gospel of John this morning where Christ speaks. He says, "As my Father has sent me, I send you." And He's not only speaking to the disciples that are there. He speaks to us today. "As my Father has sent you, I'm not here anymore. Where I go, you can't go yet. I go to prepare a place for you. But you're not there yet, but you're still here. And you're charged with carrying out what I started." So our mighty Savior, sent by God, has commissioned us to love in a way that reflects honor and glory to God. We've been forgiven. We accept that forgiveness. And we're charged with forgiving others. And we are called to be different as the body of Christ. We're called to be a different people that nobody can really figure out. One of the sermons some time ago, a couple weeks ago, and I forgot who it was. I think it was Stanley Hauerwas. They said, we are invited as Christians to be part of an alien counterculture of people. In other words, we are to be different than the people of this world. And to love in a way that's different. To love in a way that is more full, because that's what Christ modeled for us. And when we love at all times, we find that amazing things can happen. And if we think about our little triangular mission statement at the Methodist Church, follow Jesus, make disciples, transform the world. And that's what our hope is we follow Jesus unconditionally. And when we do that, we love. And we make disciples. Then we can see a transformed community, and we can see a transformed world. But now I ask this, where have you seen Jesus? Where have you encountered Jesus on your Lenten journey? How have we been called to see differently? Or perhaps, how have you been called to change? The comments that I've heard over these last 40 days with some of the topics that we've approached from a theological and spiritual standpoint, as well as in accordance with our book of discipline. But the comments that we've heard and the conversations I've had tells me the Holy Spirit has been working in the hearts of many on this journey that we've shared together. His nail-scarred hands and his pierced side have been revealed to us now. His nail-scarred hands and his pierced side have been revealed to us now. He's risen up from the depths of the grave that we might be forgiven and have that promise of a future life. So then we must ask ourselves, what is it that the resurrection means to us in our own personal lives, on our own terms? This journey that we've taken over this Lenten season, do we take it, trip's over, and we're done? Or do we continue to carry this message forward? Because I don't think that we're free to go about living our life as we've always lived it. I don't think that we can go about thinking as we have always thought when they're consistent with the ways of the world. I think that it's got to be consistent with the way of the gospel, with the way of the model of love that Christ left with us. Because when we were baptized into this alien counterculture of people, when we were baptized in the name of the risen Savior and we received the grace that God had intended for us, we were changed. And we were called to go forth living out a changed life. And the words that we hear this morning remind us that when we accept this change, then there's a peace that's been made available to us. We hear Jesus say to the disciples twice there in the Gospel of John 20, "Peace be with you, peace be with you." Because we've been called to be different. And when we hear those words of peace, we're reminded of that new life that's made available to us and that breath of new life that we have received. Now I want you to put yourself in a place with those disciples just for a minute as we hear these next words. I mean, these words, I just can't even begin to explain the power that these words have for us. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." So he's commissioned us. And when he said this, he breathed on them. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So when he breathed his breath on those disciples, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So what I ask you now is, do you feel that breath on you? Do you feel Jesus Christ breathing on you today? Have you felt Jesus Christ breathing on you over this Lenten journey? And if so, then what will you do because of it? How will you feel those nail-scarred hands which hold you? How will you view that pierced side which was pierced for you? Last week, we envisioned getting rid of the burdens in our world, in our life. We envisioned putting that sin in those places where we've strayed on the leaves of those palm leaves and just leave them here in the church. On Holy Thursday, we were invited to imagine our sin and those hurts and that pain in our life on that cross. Today, you were invited to feel the power of the resurrection. Today, you're invited to feel the power of the resurrection and that new life-giving breath in a new and more powerful way. Because, brothers and sisters, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on you. And with that, we were forgiven. Now I want you to say this with me in just a moment. I want us to say, "I am forgiven," together as a body. And I want us to say it like we mean it, because that breath of life breathed on us redeemed us of our sins. Let us say now, "I am forgiven. I am forgiven." Let's say it one more time. "I am forgiven." That is what we celebrate today. The resurrection of a Savior who loved us so much He gave His life, and a God that cared so much that He sent His Son. So I say to you now, receive the peace intended for you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.